you better put on your radio suit of armor, because it's about to get medieval up in here.
If you really have an aversion to flame or being burned, this is not the thing for you.
I don't. So I'm hanging out with Sean Williams at his blacksmith shop, Dark Angel Armory and Forge in Pompano Beach. And he says interest in blacksmithing is white hot.
We are a school of metal arts. We teach primitive or medieval blacksmithing techniques. I've been teaching classes here at the shop for about 5 years, and about 2 years ago, I got to the point where my classes were booked out 2-3 months in advance.
Williams talks fast. I thought he might look like Hagar the Horrible, but he doesn't. He's tall, about 6'5", clean-shaven, with black hair, and hands rough with calluses from pounding steel all day.
This is a one-handed Viking broadsword.
Up until about 150 years ago, anything you had that was made of metal, an iron railing, a spoon, even a nail, was made by a blacksmith. The Industrial Revolution mechanized a lot of that production, but the art persists.
There's a tremendous satisfaction with knowing if things were suddenly to change, you know, Katrina, Wilma, anything like that, where you needed to be self-sufficient. This is one of those skills that would be tremendously useful under those circumstances. We're not learning a hobby, we're learning a robust post-apocalyptic skill set.
Now, to be a blacksmith, there's a few things you need. First and foremost, an anvil.
Your working table, your working surface is your anvil, arguably the most important blacksmithing tool. Obviously, if you're going to use an anvil, you need some type of object to beat the steel down onto the anvil.
Enter blacksmithing essential number two, the hammer.
This is a 2-pound crossbeam hammer. This is your traditional blacksmithing hammer. It has a round flat face, which spreads the steel in all directions when you're using it. Very useful.
And finally, rounding out this gripping trio, the tongs.
These are scrolling tongs, basically like a big pair of needle nose pliers.
Now, with your anvil, your hammer, and a pair of tongs, you can work your steel. But first, you've got to heat it up. Williams is scraping bits of black coal into the center of a rectangular metal furnace. It's called a coal forge, and it burns at more than 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You heat your metal in here, and it starts to change colors.
At about 1,000 degrees, it's dark red, then it's light red, then it's dark orange, dark yellow, light yellow, and then white hot.
You take out the metal and pound it. Then you heat it up again, then pound it again. Back and forth, back and forth.
Rituals. Everything about blacksmithing is rituals. It's learning to do things exactly the same again and again and again.
And that means you've got to hone something else. Patience.
But I like the primalness of it, the heat.
Pembroke Pines police officer Tommy Bergs has been coming for 8 months. He's a knife guy.
I make my own bread, I make soap, I grow my own vegetables. So if we lost electricity and power and had to live off the grid, I'd like to think that I'd be okay.
But not everyone's into making weapons.
It's really not my thing. I prefer candle holders and, you know, girly things.
Fort Lauderdale real estate agent Amy McGrady makes custom wall hooks to give to her clients at closing.
And every single one of them is unique, so that's their housewarming gift where they can hang their new house keys on there.
And in South Florida, there's something else you've got to understand about blacksmithing. It gets hot.
In the summertime, it's brutal. We would get naked, but then if you've ever fried bacon naked, you know how that is.
Indeed. I'm Peter Hayden in Palm Beach County.